Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the HITECH Annual Report Workgroup. I'm pleased to welcome one of our co-chairs, Madel Briggs-Melanson, along with workgroup members Stephen Lane and Eliel Oliveira. And we are expecting Aaron Neary and Jim Jurgis to join us shortly. Public comments are welcomed, which can be typed in the Zoom chat or can be made verbally during the public comment period later in our meeting. And I'd like to turn it over to Madel and Aaron for their opening remarks.
Thank you so much, Mike. And it is a pleasure to be here again for our annual report workgroup meeting. And this may be one of our last ones as we wrap up some of the amazing work that we have been doing over the past year in order to streamline and bring together all of the important priorities in order to go into this report. And so I will also turn it on over to my colleague, Aaron, to see if he has any additional remarks, and then we'll go directly on through the agenda.
Thanks, Madel. Just to echo what you said, look forward to today's discussion. And yeah, let's put a capstone on this year and get this thing ready to go.
Absolutely. And so what we'll do is that in terms of some of our various next steps, we are going to go forward and we're really going to focus on looking at some of the additional revisions that have come from our HITECH members. And for we as a work group, just really ensuring that we consider those different revisions and see if there's any modifications we need to make to the report. In addition, we'll also go over some of the supplemental background research document revisions. And then of course, before we end today's meeting, we will also discuss open it up for public comment. Next slide. And so very briefly, we'll go over meeting schedule and the next steps. Next slide. This once again just shows the entire meeting schedule for the annual report group and all of the grayed out items or all of our prior meetings as the annual report work group. And so today we're going to update the fiscal year 2022 annual report in order for it to be submitted to the full committee next week for comments as well as approval. And then, of course, for the full committee, that will take place on February 8th, which is actually next week. And we hope there that there's going to be a full approval of the report so that then we can go ahead and submit it to ONC as well as to the national coordinator. Next slide. Great. Aaron, do you want to take us through the next steps for the development of the annual report?
Sure. Let me just pull over to the side here. Sorry, I'm driving.
Oh, never mind. So, yeah. Aaron, no worries. I'm more than happy to take it.
Thank you, man. Aaron, appreciate you.
Absolutely. Anytime. So in terms for the next steps for the development of the annual report for fiscal year 22, today, as mentioned, the work group will discuss the list of members' comments and any revisions to that draft report. In addition, what we will do is that we will then present the revised report for approval at the HITECH meeting on February 8th, and then we will transmit it to the National Coordinator for Health IT, as mentioned, in February. Next slide. All right, so now we actually get to start some of the discussion of the various different comments that we received on the report from our HITECH members. And if we can actually bring up that some of those different comments on that next document, that would be great. So far to date, we have only received revisions from one of our HITECH members, which is Devin McGraw. And one of the primary areas that she focused on was, you'll see farther on down, in terms of privacy, as well as more of the interoperability. And so Excel team, if we can go right back up just to actually mention her overall comments. So overall, what Devin did mention is that the recommendations address important issues and are all worthy pursuits for the HITECH to take on. And setting priorities is definitely challenging, as we've all experienced, even during this annual report process. Next slide, or next, we can scroll on down. So this is where some of the various comments came into play. So when really focusing on target area privacy and security, The original language that we had underneath the recommended high-tech activity was to track the work underway in TEFCA to adopt use cases that support the exchange of data for payment and healthcare operations. However, Devin wanted to make sure that we took into account a few additional considerations, and especially when it came to our language. And one of the things that Devin recommended through her written comments was, the issue of data segmentation is not just a matter of assuring that minimum necessary can be met for the sharing use cases for which the minimum necessary standard applies. It is also critical to assuring that data can be shared in accordance with the wishes of the patient. This is relevant even for sharing data. Sharing of data for treatment purposes due to the application of sensitive data protections, for example, Part 2, and state-sensitive data laws, as well as heightened concerns regarding the cross-border sharing of pregnancy-related data in the wake of the Supreme Court's opinion in Dobbs. Given the heightened concerns regarding the sharing of sensitive data in ways that could potentially harm patients and providers, the evolving legal landscape regarding the sharing of substance abuse treatment data and the slow uptake of existing technologies for data segmentation, this issue should be elevated in priority for high-tech to address. While exchange of PHI for payment and operations use is important, both of these use cases have been deprioritized for TEFCA, which suggests a great importance to dedicating resources now to resolving for treatment use cases involving sensitive health data. Revision proposed by ONC to the recommend high-tech activity is that it would then be track work underway in TEFCA to adopt use cases that support the exchange of data for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations. So we just want to pause here and open it up to the work group to sort of opine on this recommendation that definitely our colleague brought up, and also some of the proposed language that at least what ONC is giving us to make sure that we center treatment in addition to payment and healthcare operations, which I believe that's one of the things that we were discussing during many of our work groups. So we'd love to open it up to the work group to see if any thoughts or comments.
Yeah, I'm happy to chime in here. First, let me just say that Devin has become a very good friend, and she and I do a lot of work together, and I just have a world of respect for her, and I'm so happy that she has joined us on the high-tech. Her insight and knowledge in these areas is really unsurpassed, I think, in our community. So I take everything that she says, you know, really to heart, and I agree with her entirely. I think that except the one point of disagreement is the notion of deprioritization of treatment of healthcare operations and payment under TEFCA. Just to be clear, those use cases are moving forward. They're moving forward deliberatively. They were not included in the very first use cases to be supported under TEFCA, which of course our treatment and individual access services, but there is a proposal for payment healthcare operations exchange, but it is specifically being focused on basically risk identification and management. So it is a more limited use case. I think in that sense, perhaps deprioritization is an appropriate term here. But I think that these issues about the privacy of particularly sensitive data are critical. I completely agree that we should be highlighting this in our report. And she mentions the fact that there has been slow uptake of the technology to support the specific protection of flagged data. And Devin and I have both been serving on a number of work groups that have been looking into this. We had a Civitas conference a week or so ago that we participated in. You know, there is the DS4P standard, which has been included in the requirements for certified health IT, but it is optional in its use, and it has been used in a very limited manner. But it is a technical standard, which is well established in the CDA world, and is now nearing the end of the balloting process, I understand, in the FHIR world. It's very powerful, quite flexible, and provides a remarkable tool tool set that we can use, whether we're talking about part two data, adolescent confidential data, data related to sexual and gender care, reproductive care, et cetera. And it also provides the ability for individuals to specify or for providers to specify that certain aspects of data are highly sensitive, and then engage the patient in having some control over how that data can be shared. So I think, again, that everything Devin points out here is great. The one small edit that she suggested, adding the word treatment, absolutely agree with that. But I think that there may well be an opportunity for us to slip in a paragraph that captures the substance of what she's identified here.
Great. Thank you so much, Stephen, for all of those thoughts and comments. Any other thoughts or comments about the revision, the proposed revision?
Yeah, I completely agree with Stephen and Devin. And yeah, I agree as well that just bringing back treatment here probably may not do good enough for this important point that she brought up. We see constantly the need of being able to allow individuals to control who can specifically access a piece of data here at the medical school as we engage in different projects. And among the several examples, one that comes to mind that also leads to learning across the nation the different policies of different states relates to consent of young adults or children that varies from state by state. Depending on the age, and that makes this even a bit more complicated of what a young adult, is sharing with their, psychiatry doctors as related to substance use, and what their parents should see or not see, as an example, but. If we don't have a good sense of where things stand in every state, it becomes really hard for electronic systems to also comply with those. So I wanted to highlight that one because it's one that we grapple with quite a bit in our day-to-day here. But
that's
yeah,
a really good
great
point.
Comment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll pile on there. I think, the challenges of variable state privacy laws is certainly something that we've dealt with for ages, back in the paper world. And now in the digital world, it only becomes more of an acute problem. I don't think ONC would necessarily see that as within their wheelhouse, but they certainly would have the opportunity to collaborate with OCR or others within HHS to see what, if anything, could be done to at least understand the diversity of privacy laws, to document and maintain that. I know in our company, we're looking at contracting with a law firm that charges like tens of thousands of dollars a year, to help you keep track of the privacy laws of every state. I mean, if there were a federal resource at least that allowed us to be aware of this and keep up with that, that would be a great thing and save everyone a lot of time and heartache, and potentially at least get us on the same page while we're simultaneously looking for opportunities to standardize and raise the floor of privacy at the federal level, so that there's not so much of a perceived need to raise the ceiling at the state level.
Great suggestions. Aaron, I know that you may not be able to unmute, but want to make sure that you have a chance as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what everybody's saying. I do think more needs to be done around privacy security in general. We've talked about it over the years. Lots to develop and lots to learn is all I would say. So I agree with everything that's been said.
Okay, thank you. And so hearing everything, and I also agree, and I think that Devin brought out some really important considerations that not only should go into the report, but also, of course, in terms of the recommendation for additional high-tech activity. And so at the very bottom, and especially listening to all that has been said, we have revision proposed by ONC to the recommend high-tech activity. Again, that proposed language was track work underway in TEFCA to adopt use cases that support the exchange of data for treatment. That was the addition, payment and healthcare operations. But at least what I'm hearing from everyone here in the work group, we need to probably expand that a bit more and make sure that it's a little bit, it's more, it's illustrating really what our thoughts are. And most importantly, some of these different thoughts that Devin brought up. So one area, one proposed revision may be track work underway in TEFCA to adopt use cases that support the exchange for data for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations, especially in the application of sensitive data protections, so that we add that so it's very clear what we're referring to instead of very general. But then also we discuss all of the various different variations in state laws. And so the question is, if we want to add that into the recommended activity here in the report, or actually add more language in especially the supplemental data document in order to, again, provide more context. So I just want to bring that up to the work group. A, do we want to add that additional specification as it pertains to sensitive data protection? So that's very clear what we're talking about. Really highlighting that as well. And then also taking a lot more of this language that Devin mentioned and adding it to the supplemental document so that there's more robust context when looking in this area.
So I guess, Madel, I don't think I would tag the sensitive data protections onto the sentence about tracking work underway in TEFCA, because as far as I know, there's not a lot of work going on in TEFCA about sensitive data protections, right? So I think the idea of tracking the work in TEFCA as it relates to treatment as well as payment healthcare operations, I think the sensitive data protections probably warrants a different sentence, a different paragraph. And yes, I believe that it should not only specify our interest in sensitive data protections, but add some of the richness that Devin, you know, identifies here as to why that is important.
Got it.
And perhaps, you know, our ONC editorial team has time to capture some of that and make a proposal back to us. That would be nice. Sure. Or we could also, you know, Devin obviously would probably be happy to propose a paragraph.
Sure. Thank you, Stephen. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think, Mandel, that, yeah, I like the suggestion that the ONC team can probably draft some content, but I would imagine that the general report probably can have some mention, but not deep dive too much in detail. It's already a long report, right? The intent is not to, you know, focus on one specific problem so deeply, but the other one would be a better fit.
Great. Wonderful. So once again, when hearing, we're going to keep this sentence, or unless our ONC team can kind of buff it up a little bit. My main concern is that it, although TEFCA, yes, is very general, there's some key things that were brought out, and just sometimes even making that example of, for instance, may actually help. But if we want to keep this sentence, perfect. And then just making sure that we're adding more of the context to our supplemental document, not necessarily the report, but the supplemental document, in order to make sure that we have all of the context for this specific target area and for this recommendation.
That works for me.
I also really love the fact that Devin captured this notion of the inappropriate sharing of sensitive data can potentially harm both patients and providers. I think that's a key point that we need to keep in the focus point.
Absolutely.
Madel, I have a question for you. It's Michelle.
Yes.
So in the report right below this topic area, there's the topic area of privacy of sensitive health data. So I'm wondering if this overlaps with what we've already done, or is it new or different perspective on it? So we can bring up the report if you'd like to show you that line item.
Great point, Michelle, because, and that's also a nice segue. Do we, if we scroll up Excel, if we scroll up the Excel team to the next one, I believe Devin had some more comments. No, okay. So we went directly into more of our innovation and regulation. So maybe what we can do, what I would propose right now, because we do have some additional comments. Michelle, if you and the rest of the team can kind of take a look at this of what we already have for that section of protected sensitive data. And let's just make sure that at least the report has all of the comments that we just mentioned, regardless of which area it's in. Most importantly, it just needs to be in the report and in the supplemental documents. And if that can be proposed back to us, then we can make sure that we are capturing all the information that we want to capture. Does that work, Michelle? Great. I'll take that as a yes. Oh, yes, Michelle?
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I said that sounds fine.
Great. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and thanks for the reminder that we already had a section dealing with this. I think I'm sure there's some subtlety from Devin's comments that we can add there.
Exactly. All right, great. Well, let's go on to the next section. And the next section, again, target area, patient access to information. This subsection was alignment of innovation and regulation. And so we had some of our original language here, which focused on clinicians and hospital systems are adopting APIs, but are concerned about unauthorized data exposure and added liability. And so we had our list of three recommended HITACH activities. I'm going to read them, especially just because Aaron may not be able to look at the screen. So number one, learn about federal regulatory activities affecting privacy and security for areas of health IT innovation, especially APIs. Number two, support awareness and education for providers, patients, and other interested parties about relevant federal regulatory activities. And number three, support the development of guidelines that assist provider organizations in more efficiently resolving concerns around data access. So this also comment came from Devin, and the written comment itself was clarification of liability for exchange of data is a genuine issue, and frankly, one that is a real current obstacle to more widespread adoption and scaling of interoperability. Given that it is a current obstacle and with TEFCA only a voluntary network, I recommend moving it up as an immediate need versus a long-term initiative. So right now, where we have this, and Michelle, please definitely correct me if there needs to be any additional clarification. This currently is within our long-term initiatives. And what Devin is recommending is that given that this is a pretty significant topic at this time, to just move it up as an immediate need for us to address, as, and especially when it comes to our HITACH proposed activities versus a long-term initiative. So I will open it up to, again, the work group to consider this recommendation and add any additional comments about it.
I'll just say what I said before, which is Devin is brilliant and insightful. And I think she's right that this needs to be kept on the front burner. This is a critical challenge in provider adoption of APIs and provider support of an openness to the use of apps and partnership with app developers who, you know, fall outside of the protections of HIPAA. And I do think it makes sense for us to keep this as a current focus. I think there are real opportunities for ONC, once again, to partner with other federal agencies, including the FTC, you know, to raise the bar here and to advance improvements in HIPAA or other privacy regulation to help to kind of close this perceived gap. And of course, there's a lot of work going on in industry under the Karen Alliance, among others, that actually Devin and I are both involved in, but where ONC does have an opportunity to really support advancement. So good call out.
Thank you, Stephen. Any other comments?
Yeah,
I think it's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, that not much to say here that besides that, yeah, I think I've been wondering myself all along that traffic now is a reality. We're gonna get the QHINs up and running. We have EHRs with endpoints and yeah, there are gonna be quite a bit of challenges here on how that access and security of those endpoints are gonna be managed. So I still don't know. And even if us can clarify within ONC and HITACH, I think that's a great place to start. Where others out there are probably wondering the same thing, how do I do this? Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say very similar to what you're saying. I mean, I agree with what Stephen and others have said. So I think it's important and we should consider it. Is it more important than everybody else and everything else? I don't know, because we don't know what we don't know. I do wonder if after the announcement on the 13th with the first QHINs that are picked, will more federal agencies be talking about TEFCA? I hope so, right? I really hope to hear the FTC talk about TEFCA or others. So TBD.
Yeah, and I want to echo what Eliel and Aaron, what you both said, because I remember when we had this conversation, we had that exact conversation, like, what does the landscape look like? And yes, it's incredibly important, but we also were trying to looking at things from a prioritization at that point in time, and it's just so challenging with so many different pieces. But we do know that especially after all of the various different announcements, are things going to move much faster, and which we already know that this is critical. And I'm going to take it even from the patient, direct patient care lens even, and even outside some of these other aspects, really making sure that we do have that full alignment when all of these new pieces and all these new APIs are coming out, that they are meeting some type of standards in order to protect patient care and to have the appropriate exchange of the various forms of data. It's important, and it's probably now going to move even faster. But I know that we did have this same conversation about where should it actually fall in relationship to all the other priorities that we are looking at. And so we're in a new landscape, new time. So the question for the work group, do we want to move this up as an immediate opportunity or leave it right now for long-term opportunity?
I guess given our perception that this is a zero-sum game and we can only have so many immediate opportunities, it may make sense to keep this more long-term. I mean, it is something that is not going to go away. It's not going to change quickly. I don't think there are quite the same immediate opportunities as there may be, you know, in the privacy space. So I would add any detail here that is missing from our current report. The other thing that just as an aside, which strikes me, and I don't know whether we have this in the report already, but, you know, the role of HITACH vis-a-vis TEFCA and its evolution, we don't have a TEFCA work group or task force per se. We're left up to, you know, you all as HITACH co-chairs to say, you know, when do we get, you know, updates, you know, is it just in Mickey's remarks or is there going to be something more formal? I mean, as TEFCA continues to advance, I think it is important for us to think about what role HITACH can or should play. I mean, there's obviously lots of forums in which TEFCA is being discussed, and the Sequoia Project, RCE, does a great job with public engagement. But I wonder, and I'm truly wondering whether there is more of a role that HITACH should be playing in helping support ONC specifically and the RCE team within ONC as this moves forward over the coming years.
Yeah.
Good question. There was a work group. There was one. Remember that, Stephen, back in the day? It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, when the first draft came out, we did one.
Yeah. That Genevieve was leading and everything. Yeah. It was a big meeting.
And I was going to say the same thing, Stephen. I think that's a really great idea and insight, and especially as things are really kind of picking up even more, just for that, not only for that awareness, but for seeing how we can lend a hand and lead some additional insight. Mm-hmm. So I know that we do have Mike, and so we can really see what some of the potential next steps can be for something like that. So thank you for that.
One additional thought, Madel, you know, as you guys work with ONC to plan our longer in-person meetings in the spring and fall, you know, whether it might be appropriate to calendar or put in an agenda items for a deeper dive into the TEFCA space there.
Thank you for that. Great idea. Great. So do we have any objections of just leaving this item where it is? And remember, long-term does not mean that it's long-term. Long-term just means not within the next 12 months per se, but definitely within longer than 12 months. And it's still on the radar. Any objections to leaving it where it is right now? Okay, I see lots of head nods. No. Okay. Great. So we'll leave this one for where it is right now. And then we'll go on to the next piece of the next revision or recommendation. This is also from Devin for patient access to information. And this was patient consolidation of health information from multiple sources. And so our current language is that we should propose a plan to monitor and assess the successes and challenges with the implementation of the 2015 edition Cures Update API criteria. And underneath that HITECH member suggestion, Devin mentioned that, and I can see below from the same topic, so this is also in the supplemental research document, there are a number of obstacles to the ability of patients to access data from multiple sites of care. Yet the draft report and recommendations focus on actions to improve access through FHIR APIs. Exploration of this challenge should also include exploration of the barriers that patients face and obtaining their complete health information by establishing and maintaining connections to multiple FHIR endpoints, and how TEFCA can be leveraged to allow individuals through a single on-ramp to acquire all of their health information, or at least from institutions, practices, networks participating in TEFCA, without having to connect and maintain connections to multiple endpoints. The single on-ramp is the ultimate promise of TEFCA, and individual access is one of the first two priority use cases for TEFCA. Consequently, this should be a short-term versus a long-term priority. And so once again, one of the things that we mentioned is that we had put this as, and I think these comments by Devin are really, really incredibly insightful. And I'm wondering, I'm just going to just jump in there. Some of the items that she mentioned, I'm actually wondering if our original language even kind of capture what she mentioned, meaning she brings up really many important points that I think we have been talking about, but I'm not quite sure that it even was conveyed in that original language per se, as much as what it could have been. And so the question is, number one, do we want to move this language, this item up, this recommended activity up to immediate priority versus the longer term? But I would put another question out to the work group. This current original language, is this the language that we really even intended when we were discussing the importance of our patients having direct access to multiple sources of their own protected health information? So I said a lot there. So curious to see what the group thinks.
Yeah, well, I think, again, Devin is pointing out, you know, an opportunity for us to be more specific and mm-hmm. to
agree.
And Devin, you know, currently works for a company that does just this. It supports individuals, you know, mostly with cancer, but potentially other complex illnesses, and collecting all of their data to support all of their care, research, you know, et cetera, needs. And so she's acutely aware of this challenge. And I think we're all aware of the challenge of, you know, the requirement today in the industry for OAuth 2 identity verification as opposed to leveraging the IAL 2 standards, which are also out there, which would allow us to accomplish what Devin is describing here, that single on-ramp of doing identity verification once and then got really requiring data holders to respect and accept that. So I think this, again, this is kind of like the other things she pointed out. This is an acute challenge. There is a available technical solution. Policy changes could be implemented by ONC or others that would, you know, be a forcing function to move this forward. I mean, you know, like we were talking before about, you know, if you require the use of DS4P, if you require the use of IAL2, you know, we would break log jams. So I think these are the kinds of things that should be labeled as high priority because there's a shovel-ready solution and it's really just the will of the policymakers to allow us to move forward.
So I have quite a bit of thoughts about this subject because I did, you know, work quite a bit on this front, and I'm post some links here on the chat of results of the work that we did from one of the LEAP awards that we received from ONC in 2019, and pilot to exactly this type of scenario where individuals basically sign up once with some basic information and we link them to their data from a health information exchange. That was the resource we had back then. Might be still today, but I think with the creation of TAFICA and QHINs coming about, the lessons learned that can inform exactly how patients could do that very, you know, simple sign up or without much effort and get to their data. We provided a summary report to ONC of our findings, which doesn't get published publicly, I guess. But things that you're going to find there and that we continue to learn as we, you know, using in real settings here in Austin, are things like, okay, the patients basically get access to everything. Should they? Lots of clinicians are questioning that, right? We automated a lab delivery of lab results to patients. They get it in real time. And clinicians are asking, should we allow that specifically? And whether does the law define, from what we understand from the Cures Act, you should have access to all of it. But there are many situations there where I can see questions could arise of the timeliness of that access. And this is just an example of some of the challenges, right, around this. There is definitely a lot that could be done here to advance this aspect. I don't think it's a technical problem as much. I don't know how I feel about prioritizing this. In one sense, I think the priority is more on these types of questions that are not technical, of data access, and to me, maybe the health, the patient access section of our report, along with health equity, might be able to tap in some of those points. So I'm challenged to think about how to prioritize this. I think it's very important. And we started working on this a while back, and there's still opportunities to improve and great value to deliver to individuals. But
thanks at both of you all for those comments. Aaron, any thoughts? Because there's definitely some really deep insight in thinking about, again, we're just thinking about the report, but the critical, how critical each one of these various different items are as well.
Yeah, I appreciate, Madel, the topic. I do want to make sure we balance order of operations, right? I don't think we're saying in any which way that privacy and security or cybersecurity is not important. We're simply saying, though, that in some cases, the market's still got to develop a little bit. Like TEFCA is an example. You know, we've got to see what happens with it. There's a whole lot of speculation right now until that thing is live. And it's not even mandatory, as Devin was saying, and she's right. It's voluntary for right now. So I think there's a lot that we want to do. We need to see what happens. So So I think I just want to caution this group that we're not in any which way saying none of this stuff's important. We're just simply saying, when does it happen so that it makes sense?
I agree. I tend to agree. And I think that's why, because I'm challenged, because I love the subject and the fact that I believe that that's the right way to go. At the same time, when I look at our list about health equity, public health, traffic of rollout, it's hard to, you know, not think that those are more immediate aspects to focus on. These are very important, but maybe not as immediate.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why I mentioned the activity itself is proposing a plan to monitor and assess the successes and challenges. And does this activity even capture what we do think is the appropriate next step in order to address the patient consolidation of health information from various different sources? And so we are at a time, and I feel like we're at just multiple crossroads of so many various important things that we know are critical to not only supporting our patient and community care, but then also operation and interoperability in more ways than one. And so when we're looking at how we're proceeding, what is the next step for HITECH to get to the ultimate goal that we all want to get to in terms of, for instance, even that single on-ramp, which we know is critical for so many different reasons. So that's why I also propose to you all, if this language even right here is enough for us, or do we need to be more specific in what we're referring to when we're talking about proposing a plan?
Personally, I think specificity matters. So even if it's a listening session to understand a landscape of all the things going on and kind of go in stepwise, I'm all about specificity.
Yeah. Stephen and Eliel, because we're very broad right now with our recommended HITECH activity.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. And I guess we are agreeing that we needed to mention additional details, maybe on the supplemental report, to be specific about this, but not necessarily raise this to immediate priority, given that there's so much more to find place like Tafika. We just need to see what's going to happen there. So I think I agree on that specificity. So that, again, this is so important, but next year when we look back, you know, in trying to have these same discussions of what are the key priority focus for the following year, it might be that after Tafika, you know, and other things are coming to play, that we look at this and we already have some solid definition of what this is about to pick up from.
Great, thank you. Stephen, any thoughts about that?
I agree with everything that's been said.
Okay, all right. So just to summarize this, this is very important, and we know that this is where we need to be in more ways than one. However, given where TEFCA is right now, and given where even all of our various different items when it comes to the various different sources of health information, as they're quickly evolving, at least right now, our goal is to still propose a plan to monitor and assess the successes and challenges. But for our ONC support team, if we can just be a bit more specific into that of saying how we want to monitor and assess, like what are some of those different ideas? But then we'll leave it right now underneath just a longer term priority, but only because we are waiting for the rest of the landscape to evolve so we can be even more specific for our next immediate steps. Did I summarize that okay? Yes, Michelle.
In actuality, I think it's currently in immediate level rather than in long term. That would be a change if we push it to long term.
Okay. So it is definitely still is already in immediate level.
Right. Yeah. Sorry if that wasn't clear.
Okay. Yes. I think right here, Devin's comments was just saying that it should be a short term versus a long term priority. Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, that changes it. Right now, we're still in immediate. So So maybe still adding some of the of that additional specificity is going to be key, and especially as we're watching the rest of the TEPCAN landscape evolve. All right, any other thoughts or comments about this?
Nope.
Okay. All right, and so so it sounds like from our team here, the proposed solution, so this was already in the immediate opportunity priority level. So we're all set there. All right, let's keep on moving on to the next area. I think that was it. Okay. Oh, one more. All right. So the very last area, now this is in the supplemental background research document. And this is still in the area, target area of patient access to information. And this was, once again, we were just talking about patient consolidation of health information from multiple sources. And we have some of our original language here that's going deeply into the ONC Cures Act final rule that requires standards-based APIs to be used to provide data to APHSA help patients access and consolidate their health information from across different portals. And so we have some additional explanatory language that's after that as well. And then coming from Devin, this was, I believe, one of the last comments, but this is directly on the research document. It was mentioned here that there are a number of obstacles in order to the ability of patients to access data from multiple sites of care, yet the draft report and recommendations focus on actions to improve access through FHIR APIs. Exploration of this challenge should also include exploration of the barriers that patients face in obtaining their complete health information by establishing and maintaining connections to multiple FHIR endpoints, and how TEPCAN can be leveraged to allow individuals through a single on-ramp to acquire all of their health information, at least from all the various different institutions, practices, networks participating in TEPCAN, without having to connect and maintain connections to multiple endpoints. Again, thinking about that single on-ramp, it's the ultimate promise of TEPCAN. So some of the proposed text by ONC is to add into the research document, and this may help with some of the conversation we were just having. In addition, patients face burden due to the difficulty in accessing multiple API endpoints to aggregate their health information. The TEPCAN proposes to reduce the burden of access on patients by providing them with one access point to request data from all organizations participating in TEPCAN. So our main proposed solution for us to discuss should be whether to add the proposed text directly to the supplemental document or not. And right now, ONC is recommending that we accept this change. Any thoughts about if we should add this text or any other revisions that you think are needed?
I support the revision.
I do too, Madel. This looks great. I think I'll go back to my point as well for us to keep in mind is that balance between allowing patients access to all their data in real time through a network like we're putting together, and if that could cause harm, and I heard from several clinicians basically saying, are you really going to be providing patients that the delivery of all their lab results and, you know, scans results in real time? What issues that could be there? And somehow we need to, and who can determine what should be done and not done based on the Cures Act? I think that's an important point for us to address at some point.
You know, I think I agree with you, Eliel, and, you know, you've got a couple of clinicians on the line here. I'm always concerned, you know, the clinician, the vocal clinician pushback against information sharing as it has been promulgated by the Cures Act final rule, and the sort of the sky is falling mentality, you know, the desire to preserve paternalistic, you know, data silos and disengage or maintain the disengagement of patients from their own data. I mean, I take care of patients, you know, I totally understand this. We have the technology, the workflow, and the human communication tools to do this absolutely great, you know, and I think that those who are trying to fight this evolution in health data access are, you know, largely distracting us from our goals. But we can have that conversation elsewhere. But anyway, so that was just to your point. To the recommended text, I think it's great to wrap this into TEFCA and our approach to TEFCA. But again, TEFCA today is purely voluntary. So saying that individuals will have the right to access all of their data that happens to be available through TEFCA exchange is a very hollow promise, because today, there's no data available through TEFCA Exchange. I have no idea whether this calendar year there will be any data available through TEFCA Exchange. And until we have, you know, more substantial carrots and eventually sticks, there will not be a significant amount of data available through TEFCA Exchange. So hitching this wagon to the TEFCA horse, to me, is a way of kicking the can down the road, as opposed to looking for levers that we can implement today through ONC, CMS, you know, et cetera, CDC, to either, you know, incentivize this behavior or incentivize TEFCA exchange. But we have to do one or the other, or this could, you know, I could be retired and dead before we see any progress.
So two different thoughts about what you each said. One, Eliel, going back to your comment, you know, access, and especially allowing our patients to have access to data, is one very important, but it definitely does bring significant concerns from physicians. Not just because of, gosh, we got to block them from a paternalistic standpoint, but also oftentimes, I think, from a compassion and empathy and a care standpoint. So for instance, if I'm taking care of my patient and I do a CT scan and it's very clear that they now have a primary malignancy that potentially is spreading through their abdomen and their chest, I want to be that physician that actually goes and speaks to them about those results before they are actually hit with that radiology report or that pathology report that's telling them that they have cancer and they haven't had a chance to A, hear it from a provider, but most importantly, talk about what the next steps are. And so there is that compassion and that empathy and that high quality, equitable care aspect of it that, as Stephen said, there's different technical levers that we can deploy in various different types of scenarios. But I do feel that it needs to be very thoughtful, or else we will cause more harm than what we have all intended in these particular cases, which I know that so many people across the country have thought very deeply about. So it will be really important to move forward, but we have to reassure, I think, our physicians in particular, that those safeguards will be in place so that it doesn't take away from that beautiful and important patient-provider interaction, especially in these times of greatest levels of patient vulnerability. And then, yes, Stephen, I agree with you as well that we have to push forward with having that access to information. And TEFCA may be one vehicle, but are there other vehicles? So maybe with that proposed text that ONC is actually providing, maybe it's actually using TEFCA as an example instead of actually centering it as the be-all, end-all, as we're continuing to see what, again, continues to evolve with TEFCA. All right. Wonderful. Yes. And go ahead, Eliel.
Thank you both. I just wanted to say, and I completely agree with Steve there on TEFCA and the fact that, yes, it's voluntary, so we may not get to that on-ramp to everything. That's great comment. On the earlier comment also about the paternalistic, you know, controlling of data, I'm completely there with you as well, both that we gotta pass beyond that, right? We need to let individuals get access to their data. That to me is the most important thing. But I raise that point as well, because that's one that I keep hearing a lot out there when we're talking about the you know, these possibilities. And, you know, what do we say? What is our answer, you know, are we really saying that the Cures Act basically has yes, you have to, except for the exceptions that we have on information blocking, right? Or not, and what is it, how do we define that median, you know, of because on your same point, Mandel, you know, I have had that situation in my family where someone had a bad diagnosis that, you know, cancer for the third time, and we didn't hear of the results until we called back two, three weeks after. And was necessary that it would have been immediate response, right? That someone had reached out. So now we have a family member 2 weeks further into a cancer treatment that was going to be very difficult when we needed that immediate response. So it's very hard to define where we draw the line here. Anyway,
and the technical workflows have to be directly coupled with the clinical workflows and accountability as well.
And with training of clinicians, you know, again, you and I both know this, Madel, that this can be done, you know, through strong communication skills, compassion. These are human skills. This is not a technology problem. We should not, you know, use technology as the scapegoat for, you know, failing to empower patients with access to their data.
Absolutely. Great conversation, everyone. So it looks like we are going to approve this language, but maybe with some small revisions as well, with especially because right now it looks to be that it's centering on TEFCA, but maybe modifying that language a bit based off of the discussion we just had, so that it's very clear that we have to move forward definitely with TEFCA, but also just in general, we have to move forward with increasing patient access to information. All right, and we can proceed on Excel. We can keep on scrolling down. I think this is the last one, yes, because we're now to the references. So once again, I'm looking at patient access information. This is another common revision coming from Devin. I'm looking at the safety and impact of mobile health apps. This is always an area that I love diving into as well. And so we had several, our language was that there are a few private sector efforts underway to vet apps. For instance, there is a collaboration between the American College of Physicians, the American Telemedicine Association, the organization for the review of care and health applications called the Digital Health Assessment Framework. This framework assesses apps based on data and privacy, clinical assurance and safety, usability and accessibility, and technical security and stability. And so what Devin is actually recommending based on what our original language is that the issue of lack of assurances for privacy and security and reliability, validity of patient-facing apps is a real issue. And yet the draft mentions only one private sector effort aimed at addressing these gaps, which suggests HITECH has already made a decision to recommend a single existing resource or initiative. While I agree it's valuable to look at existing private sector efforts, the record seems a bit thin to suggest landing on or even mentioning one particular effort. So the proposed language by ONC is that the Karen Alliance offers a code of conduct with best practices that encourage better and safer apps, to which app developers can attest. The Organization for the Review of Care and Health Applications offers health IT developers assessment and accreditation for their technologies. So just wanted to see what everyone feels about this in terms of not only Devin's comment, which definitely is spot on. I don't think that we were recommending one single existing resource. I think that was put in there as an example, but then that actually shows that we may have needed to highlight that that was an example. And we did put, for instance, but wanted to see any other thoughts or comments about this piece, as well as the proposed new text by ONC.
Well, Madel, I agree, you know, that this is spot on and appropriate. I like expanding it. One thing I will add, and I'm not sure it needs to be in this text because it is work in progress, is that Devin and I and Genevieve and a couple of other people are actually on a task force presently with Karen to develop an iteration of the Karen Code of Conduct that would apply to intermediaries, such as Genevieve's company, Devin's company, my company, that want to be able to participate in and support the Karen Code of Conduct, but that original document was really designed for the B2C app developers as opposed to the other links in the chain that support this data exchange, you know, with the apps. So, you know, there's more work being done on this, but I do think that this particular proposed text does make sense and captures the key point.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Mandel. And Steve, I think given all the work that we did on this front, I know how important this is because, you know, yes, apps are coming out from everywhere. I do believe though that just like EHR certifications through ONC, that there gotta be something beyond just a code of conduct, but someone that actually authorizes or not that certain apps that access healthcare data should or not, you know, be available to individuals. It's something that doesn't exist today, right? So we have FTC regulating access to information online. We have HIPAA and some other regulations. I don't think we have anything for this. And I think there's a lot of open space here for harm, in my opinion, and that some oversight is necessary. I think that the example that I'm going to draw here might not be a perfect one, but it's one that I think creates a model for this, is that we see the ecosystem of apps for the Apple App Store, and we have an ecosystem of app for the Android App Store, right? And in the Apple App Store, Apple basically says, we will vet every app and nothing that we don't like is gonna go. So we have an environment that honestly I trust that somebody's watching for me and making sure that I don't have anything that's gonna create a challenge. On the Android, I think maybe things have evolved, but the last time I checked was, you know, it's open market and there are benefits to that as well. There's more innovation and other things, but I do not trust my Android devices as much, you know? And so what I'm trying to say is that there gotta be in healthcare in terms of these app, maybe both ecosystems, but at some point, someone, some federal agency needs to have that control, just like Apple, in a safe environment that patients can trust that this app here has been vetted by someone. And I don't know, just the call that, I don't believe the code of conduct is necessarily going to take care of that fully.
I agree, Eliel. And you know, it's interesting to note in that context that Epic is actually, you know, their App Orchard, App Store, you know, was renamed and now it's being decommissioned essentially. I mean, they've just decided that they are going to get out of the business of vetting apps, even to the point of doing sort of development review, which is what they had been doing for some time. So I think, you know, it highlights the point that we can't necessarily rely on private industry to self-police and self-regulate. I think the code of conduct and all the work that Ryan Howells and his group have done is wonderful and critical and it has really helped to raise the importance of this, but they're really, this is one of the roles of government, right? And ONC, I believe, should be working with other branches to help move this forward.
And especially because of these types of applications, how often do we have patients come to their clinics or hospitals or emergency departments and say, hey, this app told me this, or this is what my calculation and my heart rate or blood pressure were. And in all actuality, if we do not have closer monitoring of the clinical validity of these mobile applications, without a doubt, it causes more harm. So I agree with every single thing that you all are saying. I think it's beautiful to have frameworks, but I do think there needs to be some form of true review as well as certification of these apps, and especially because we're dealing with people's overall clinical outcomes and well-being. And so this was something that we discussed when we added this in, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to include this. But Now, looking at that proposed text, does it capture all that we would want, or are there any additional items that we would want to include as well? Because it seems like we're all saying that we do need to figure out some type of governance or accreditation true source that may likely live more within a governmental agency versus, for instance, in the private sector.
I think including a specific recommendation to ONC to engage with other applicable federal agencies to, you know, review and, you know, kind of like they did with TEFCA, right? Either name, identify, or develop a federal framework to solve this problem. You know, in the TEFCA space, they decided to kind of start from scratch and we created the RCE, et cetera. I mean, maybe the goal, the right thing would be to deepen the commitment to Karen and the work that they're doing and push that forward, or this other group. But I think a specific recommendation to ONC to really take hold of this and move it to the next level. Not just identifying that there are these efforts going on out in the ecosystem.
Correct. But actually really, truly developing some type of structure, review process, and certification process.
Federally supported.
That's federally supported. Agree. All right. Any other thoughts or comments about this last piece?
I need a clarification. Sorry. So it sounds like we're accepting this change to the supplemental document, but are we now proposing another change to the report to add a recommendation, or is that in the parking lot for the future?
One of the things, Michelle, we likely, now that we've had this conversation, need to look back at the report to see if there's any language that needs to be strengthened there. And so even if we have a little bit of time, even if we can pull up the report to that particular area, because I think what we're doing, this actually revealed that we're all in agreement that there needs to be some type of formalized structure for review as well as certification of these mobile health applications. And making sure that it's rooted within one or more governmental agencies versus just kind of exploring what's kind of out there, because we know both so many of the different implications of these mobile apps when it comes to individuals' health. So is it possible then we can bring up that section of the annual report in order to see if there's any additional language that we need to strengthen there?
Michelle, I want to bring up one thing that I'll put the link here on the chat. You may be familiar with this RFI that the Office of Technology Policy, the Science Technology Policy Office issued. We responded to it and sent some suggestions to the White House related to this, but they also issued a report that had some language related to what we're talking about that we can maybe use. And happy to send our response to them, but I think that the language it suggested, there's nothing wrong with that language, but I think what we're saying here is there is a little bit more that needs to be done in terms of certification of these apps. It can't just be open for anyone to do whatever they wish without oversight.
Well, official government certification, not just
correct. Yes,
sir. Various flavors of private industry certification.
And one of those, one addition may be there is a lack of governmental meaningful analysis and certification of mobile health app efficacy, as well as guidance on data security. So potentially just adding in that governmental oversight of not only the analyses, but also the certification. And we can kind of take that thread and go directly through our recommendations as well. Michelle, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I have a lot of thoughts, some personal, some in my role as supporting this work group, and then also past work in the patient access area. So I know in the history of ONC, there's a lot of debate whether it's in scope or not for ONC, so I think I'd have to get some input from our leadership if they're comfortable going this far right now, especially in this late stage of the report. I tend to think there's more of a parking lot issue to pick up in May when we regroup and go deeper then. I think there's interest in ONC Div looking at it. They're not probably willing to say we should be the group certifying now or in the future. So it doesn't mean we won't get there. It just means right now I know it's an issue. So I guess I would recommend being a little cautious here at this late stage of the report, but it is of interest to us. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but it's kind of my perspective.
Thank you, Michelle. And so, yes, if you're able to receive any feedback from leadership about that, but at least one of the things, and if we do need to table until May, and which we can then go deeper into as we're kicking off our upcoming priorities, maybe at least making sure that we're adding in the importance regarding the clinical validity and safety of mobile health applications, because really highlighting that piece is going to be important, because what we're saying is that we want these apps to be rooted in clinical evidence. We know that will not cause harm and that eventually there will be some type of oversight of these applications and their development in order to be certified so that patients as well as other providers know that these applications are safe and that we're not just kind of developed in, you know, excuse my language, the Wild Wild West, without any true input or clinical thought behind how they were developed. Wonderful. Anything else for us to add on this piece? Okay, great, robust conversation. Thank you, Excel team, for bringing up the report for us to take a look at what we had so far. And we'll be able to just work a little bit offline, Michelle, based off of what you're able to receive from leadership. And just, if anything, just refine the language a bit more so it's very clear that we're leading up to what we believe will be necessary, whether it's something that's within truly ONC's scope or if it's something that ONC, we would recommend for ONC to potentially explore with some of the other governmental agencies, because this is a really important and emerging area of technology that we know directly impacts health. Okay, great. And yes, let's pull up the next slides then, now that we've seen the report. Are we able to pull up, go back to our original slides, Excel team? Thank you. No problem. Well, we definitely thank Devin McGraw for all of her amazing comments. This has been very great. It's led to some wonderful discussions. And so we already went through the outline of the draft supplemental background, all of the revisions. We already touched base on that one. And I do not believe there's any additional HITECH committee member revisions or comments on this document. So we can go to the next slide.
Madel, I'll just point out that Devin had actually sent me some of her feedback before she submitted it to the ONC team. And I've suggested to her that she consider joining this work group when we reconvene later in the year. I think it would be great for us to have her, you know, fine mind and legal insight as we're doing this work next time around.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Stephen. All right, well, I will turn it on over to Mike at this time for public comment.
Great, thank you, Madel. All right, everyone, we're gonna open up our call for any public comments. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located at the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause just for a moment just to see if any members of the public raise their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Madel, so I'll turn it back to you and Aaron.
Thank you so much, Mike. And let's move on to the next slide. And I think that may conclude today's work group meeting. So I want to specifically thank all of my amazing esteemed colleagues that are on this work group and truly just say thank you for all of your efforts, all of your engagement, all of your perspectives and your expertise that you've contributed throughout the past several months. We really do appreciate it. This report would not be where it is without each and every single one of you. And so really do appreciate and very grateful for you. As well as one just say thank you so much to our ONC team that has continued to support this annual work group also over the past several months in order to get us to where we are today. There's been a large amount of work that you all have done. We really do appreciate you, Michelle. We thank you for your leadership. And again, thank everyone else for all of their contributions as well. And so, Erin, I know that you may or may not be available. Just want to make sure to give you the floor in case you have some additional closing remarks as well.
No, I appreciate everybody's time today. Good discussion, and I'm glad we're at a finishing edge here. It was good.
Yes, it is. And so thank you, everyone, for coming
today. Can I just pile on a little more gratitude? First to Erin for helping to co-lead this work group for a number of years now, you know, and really setting the tone and the rhythm that has kept this moving along. And Madel, especially to you for stepping up this past year as a brand new HITAC member, taking on the co-chairmanship of this, you know, with aplomb and elegance and insight, and just can't thank you enough for the great job that you've done helping get us to this point.
Thank you, Stephen, for the kind words. We appreciate you. Great. Well, wonderful. Well, everyone, have a wonderful day, and we will look forward to seeing everyone at the full committee HITAC meeting on February 8th.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.